Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, last Saturday, I know was a kind of a stinging way to have that game come to a close. It's the third time now it's happened this year. For lack of a better term, are you considering not being able to close out games a bit of an epidemic right now?
A little bit, absolutely. I mean, it's enough where we're talking about it. We're discussing it with our players, and you got to learn how to win 2-1.
It was 2-0, then they make it 2-1. Generally speaking, how do you think this team, your team, responds after they give up a goal?
I don't know. I don't want to sit there and overthink things. I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter what they think or how they respond. You got to respond the right way, and you have to have some pushback after they score. So. No, it's very interesting. I mean, we've got a big enough sample size right now, I think, in those three games, Schultze, so that we've lost leads where, yeah, it can be a little bit of an epidemic. So, but I also don't want to sit there and think the world's coming to an end as well. We just, you know, sometimes, again, there's nothing like a hard-fought 2-1 win to kind of get you over the hump.
There's a saying in football, Tom, that a prevent defense only prevents you from winning the game. In hockey, it's not called a prevent defense, but it's finishing a game. Is there some truth to that, though, in the sport of hockey, too, where you can prevent yourself from winning?
Yeah, you just can't shoot yourself in the foot. I mean, the biggest thing is just don't shoot yourself in the foot, any sport. And, again, you'll watch a football game, and if you're up 2 touchdowns with 5 minutes to go, you're running the ball. You're trying to get a first down. You're trying to eat time off the clock. You're trying to have them burn timeouts. You want to start throwing the ball and give free timeouts to your opposing team and maybe get an interception. That's not very brave football. Hockey's the same way. You got to keep moving the chains. You got to advance pucks. You got to get pucks deep. You got to make teams beat you 200 feet. But you need that in the first period and the second period too. But you got to be more cognizant about those things in the third period because you got to lead. You have to have good layers. You have to have your second layer be above the puck. No, you have to keep pucks low. Those are things that you just do normally, but you better be more aware of it in those situations where you know you're up and the game's going to be over soon, and you want to eat time off the clock, and you want the other team to have to beat you. You don't want to beat yourself.
About a month ago, your power play was at 6%. It's now up near 20%. And the goofy thing about this sport, Tom, is your power play doesn't look that much different. It's odd what getting one or two does for a power play unit, isn't it?
100%. And we're getting, you know, the puck's having a few more eyeballs, you know what, and we're getting maybe that second chance opportunity, whatever it is. But you're right, it's not like it's that much different, but you just have to cash in, and we've cashed in as of late.
Tyler Vold scored on the power play on Saturday. I mean this in the best possible way. He's a guy to me that I don't notice because he doesn't ever seem to do anything to hurt himself or the team. And when he gets production, gets a goal, obviously that's icing on the cake. But what do you notice about him that maybe the casual fan doesn't?
I don't know. Schultze, I kind of see him like you do. He's just a pretty consistent player. He's unassuming, and he does everything well. His probably his greatest strength is that he has no deficiencies. So I think you kind of hit it on the head.
Conversely, your penalty kill, Tom, is lights out right now. Is that unit getting enough credit for the record right now?
Well, they should, because it helps. I mean, you give up a couple power play goals in some of the other games that we might have won, it's a whole different ball game. So, knock on wood, hopefully we can keep that going. But those guys have stood tall so far.
More with Coach Ceratori when we return. Pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part 2 with head coach Tom Ceratori. On to the Nanooks. Tom, they're a team that has a lot of splits as of late. As you've watched them, what is it that they're maybe not doing to get a sweep, or what are they doing? Maybe that isn't a good thing that's getting them, in a situation where they're getting a bunch of splits.
Well, first off, they're doing something well by getting splits all the time. We all are. And if we can get a couple of sweeps, that puts us over the hump. But it's hard beating a team 2 nights in a row. And unless you're so far above the game like a North Dakota or Mankato, but most of us are just normal hockey teams. And when you're a normal hockey team, it's just the way it happens. You know what? You get splits, and to me, they're delivering, and they're being consistent. And I take splits the rest of the year. It gets us home ice, so, you get greedy, but you also splits aren't all that bad. If you can mix in a couple sweeps with it, then next thing you know, you win 20 games.
Going into the season, you thought they'd be a home ice team? No reason to think any differently now, is there?
No, they got a good team. They're experienced. They got good size. They got good speed. They're getting goaltending. They're 13 juniors and seniors. They got a good hockey team.
from what I remember that series back in early November, they were one of the first teams that I had seen do this on their power play against your penalty kill, as that pass back to their defensive blue line just to get speed coming into the zone. Are they still doing it, and what are they trying to accomplish by doing it?
Well, a lot of teams are doing that now, and that's from the National Hockey League. It's a drop pass, and you're exactly right. They still do it, but they also went to a double swing last weekend at times, too, against Ferris State. So I don't know what we're going to see. Are we going to see a drop pass? Are we going to see a double swing? We're ready for both, but no, they do it because they've got some speed and they got some guys with some puck skills. Absolutely. Plus, it's more advantageous on a big ice. They got 7.5 feet on each side where they can attack and roam a little bit. So it's a little obviously more narrower in our barn.
When they drop that pass back, do you want to attack that guy that they're passing it to, or attack the other guy so that he doesn't have anybody to play the puck to?
We want to make sure that our forwards stay in the middle, that we want to make sure that they can't cut back and penetrate in the middle. We want them to go to the outside. And then what happens is our defensemen are supposed to take the dot to the wall. So our defensemen are supposed to take that rush. We have to shift over, though. So once they drop that puck back, we want to shift over on pass. Once the pass comes across, we want our forwards to shift over, but we still want them inside the dots. We want our strong side defenseman to take that rush. We don't care if he blows up the play on the blue line. He can blow it up 15 feet inside the zone as long as eventually there's going to be pressure on that puck carrier. And then our forwards need to take the high layer. And the high layer is that a pass that might go back to the defenseman. So we just want to make sure, too, we've got good structure away from the puck on that.
You're down to 11 healthy forwards right now. What's the plan?
No, we just got to play. And